Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say again it's Inspirational Truth time once again. I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, friend, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be yours, the Word of God says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. My, what a great day it is. Isn't it a wonderful day? The Bible said, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I am rejoicing. Hey, I've got a prayer for you. I know that not everyone that hears this little radio program is well physically and in good health. Some of you are homebound. Some of you take care of people that are. But as John prayed in his third epistle that he has written, he wrote it to a man by the name of Gaius. He said, look, I pray that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, that's my prayer for you today. Excited about the message. Excited about the program God has laid on my heart. The message God has given us. I'll be looking in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 16 at verse 28. And David's got a song that goes right along with the message. I trust that you will enjoy it, and I know you will. The title of it is, Who is This King? As soon as she gets done with this great song that she has written, I'll meet you back in the book of John, chapter 16, and we'll consider verse 28 for the message today. Enjoy!
In the town that's called Bethlehem, so many years ago, there was a king that was born. He was born in a stable low. But most did not realize what had taken place. This king had come down to enter the human race.
I hope you know Him, friend. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I Am that I am. What a wonderful song. Thank you, Debbie. I believe she wrote that with Christmas in mind, and that's about the time of the season that we generally use that song, but I believe it's very fitting. Matter of fact, I know it's very fitting for the message God has laid on my heart out of the book of John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 28. And listen to what the Word of God says. Jesus said this. This is part of His upper room discourse. This comes from His heart just hours before He goes to the cross and dies as a sinner substitute, as He dies as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It just hours before He is forsaken by all of those that were His followers. It was just hours before that He'd be beaten and bruised and bloodied and scourged and spat upon and mocked and rejected by a nation. And He said this. Now watch this. Oh, how marvelous this is. Every now and then, and it's always that we come into the Word of God with a certain degree of trepidation. The Word of God is an amazing thing, is it not? And yet it seems like that there are some parts of the Word of God that just strike more awe and wonder than others. And to me, this verse is one of those. Listen to what He said. In 22 words, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. I'm going to talk to you a little while today about this verse, and I'm going to use this text that God has laid on my mind for it. It is a verse. Here's the text. A verse that says it all. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, in this verse, friend, we have the incarnation of Christ. We have the manifestation of Christ. We have the crucifixion of Christ. And we have the ascension of Christ. And I'm telling you, friend, that pretty well sums up the mission of this man who was God manifest in the flesh. It tells us where He came from. It tells us what He did while He was here. It tells us why He died. And it tells us where He went and what He's doing. Oh, He came from the Father, the Word of God said, and He returned to the Father. And oh, what a magnificent passage of Scripture that is. You know what? God has a way with words, does He not? His words are filled with power. And it's not power that man has created. It's no power, friend, that we understand. When we begin to think of what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word power in the Greek is dunamis. We get our word dynamite from power. But oh, listen, friend, when Paul down at Rome began to write and preach the gospel, write about and preach the gospel, he said, hey, fellas, you all that have all of this military might, you all that have all of this political positioning and this political elitism, let me tell you about some true power. A power that's out of this world. That's what the Word of God is. 22 words. And this verse says it all. Don't you think so? A verse that says it all. I love the Word of God. I really do. You know what the shortest verse in the Bible is, I'm sure, Jesus wept. Do you know that speaks volumes? I mean, to tell you every little boy and girl that's ever gone to church, every man and woman that knows the Word of God knows John 11 and 35. Everybody just about knows John 3:16. And do you know how many words are in that verse? 25. It's not a perchance thing in the translation of that verse that there are 25 words. It is a multiple of the number 5, which stands for grace. And right smack dab in the middle of that verse, in the King James Bible, you'll see the Son. Oh, the gospel is about the Son. The Word is about the Son. And Jesus said this. He said, I am come forth from the Father, am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So let's look at this. We have the incarnation in this verse in the beginning. Do you all know, friend, that Bethlehem was not the beginning of Jesus? Thank God, thank God. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He was from eternity. He is to eternity. Thank God He was God. He is God, and He always shall be God. I believe the writer Isaiah said this. He said, unto you a son is given. Unto you a babe or a child is born. Thank God Jesus existed. Isn't that amazing? Before He was born. Now you figure that one out. My, what a great statement that is. Let me say it again. This man by the name of Jesus, who was born of a virgin by the name of Mary, begotten by God Himself, the only begotten of the Father, the Word of God said, before that His virgin mother wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. Before He was conceived in the womb by the power of the Holy Ghost, He existed. Isn't that amazing? Everyone that's listening to me and this one that is even speaking today, There was a time when none of us existed. Isn't that amazing? And yet now that we've come through our mother's womb, now since we've breathed the breath of life, there'll never be a time when we cease to exist. But oh, listen, friend, even before Jesus was born, He was. He said, "I am," thank God, about 7 times in the book of John. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I and the Father are one." He said, "I am the door. I'm the good shepherd." He said, "I'm the water of life. I'm the bread of life." He said, "I am." And I want you to know, those in the day of His public ministry got that. They understood what He was conferring, what He was inferring. He was saying, "Hey, listen, boys, you asked me who I was. I'll tell you who I am. I'm the one that was. I'm the one that is, and I'm the one that always shall be. I am, that I am." And they no doubt remembered that scene that's recorded clearly in the book of Exodus when Moses met the great I am that I am on the backside of the desert, on the backside of Mount Horeb, that mountain of God, that day when God called him from shepherding his father-in-law Jethro's sheep to shepherding God's chosen people. Listen, friend, God was in the beginning. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God." And John goes on to say in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Oh, friend, when the fullness of time was come, Paul told the church of Galatians in chapter 4, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. Thank God, listen, when Jesus entered into the stream of humanity through the virgin's womb, you know why He did it? He did it, thank God, so that He might manifest the Father. And that's the point, the second point. God was fleshed out. The Word of God took upon Him flesh. That's what incarnation means. God fleshed out His Word. Isn't that beautiful? And in that fleshing out His Word, we have the manifestation. Not only do we have the incarnation, when Jesus said, "I came forth from the Father," and He said, "I'm come into the world," there is the manifestation. And now the Old Testament, the Old Testament tells us without doubt that God was there, that God is, and God always shall be. But oh, I want you to know something. Listen, though Moses, and I'm about to get happy right now, though Moses saw the hinder parts of God's glory there on Mount Horeb that day, or Mount Sinai, listen, friend, he saw something marvelous, did he not? But he didn't see anything, friend, have that compared, thank God, to the glory that Jesus brought down from the throne of God, from the palace of heaven, to an earthly body, and to a time that He spent on His footstool. I'm telling you, the apostles that were chosen by Jesus, the very inhabitants of Bethlehem and Galilee, Judea, Samaria, Tyre and Decatur, Decapolis, all the other places that Jesus picked His foot up and laid it down, as He performed miracles, as He preached and taught and walked, all they saw a greater manifestation of God in the book of Colossians, excuse me. The Word of God tells us that in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm telling you, there was a time when Jesus was nearing His return to the Lord. Philip said this in chapter 14, and I'm glad that people like Philip and Thomas and others ask questions, aren't you? Oh, I'm so glad for that. After Jesus said, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. After He said, listen, you believe in God, believe also in Me. After He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Isn't it amazing what we miss? Isn't it amazing what God sets before our eyes to see, both physically and especially spiritually, and we fail to see it? What do you mean, preacher? Well, Thomas was hung up on the old tradition. Thomas was hung up on the Old Testament experience with his people, with his Jewish ancestors, with his forefathers, with those that preceded him. They had seen the miracles of God. They had seen the fire on Sinai. Oh, they were caught up with tangible things, if you will. I mean to tell you, they bowed down to them. They did homage to them. Thomas had a craving for something that that was tangible and visible. And you know what? That's what's behind all ritual in religion. I mean, the Muslims want you to make a trip and a pilgrimage to Mecca. The Hindus, I believe it is, says you need to be baptized or washed in the Ganges rivers. Hey, somebody else says if you crawl on your knees and climb the staircase in Rome on bare knees, then you'll seem, oh, look, if you pray to a statue, if you pray to Virgin Mary, if you pray to the crucifix, if you light a candle, if you do all of these things, then somewhere or another we'll be able to see. Oh, you say, why, preacher? Well, these things are visible. But, oh, look what was before Thomas. He was God manifest in the flesh. And Jesus said, oh, Thomas, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. When you've seen Me, you've seen the manifestation of God Almighty. Not in a corporal sense, not in an image sense, but you've seen Me in My essence. Oh, Jesus said in John, where's it at? I can't remember the chapter and verse, but He said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Well, John 14, but I meant to say, I and the Father are one. Oh, friend, listen. Jesus was the manifestation of God in Philippians chapter 2. And I'm turning. The Bible tells us Jesus, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You say, why is that, preacher? Because He was God. He said in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was Emmanuel that Isaiah prophesied of. He was Emmanuel that Gabriel told Joseph, his adopted son, Jesus, that virgin-born son that He was to marry, and that He was God in the flesh. And here's the amazing thing. Nowhere does anyone call Him Emmanuel in the accounts of the gospel that we have, but I'm here to tell you, it was God who stood on the boat and its bow and said, peace be still, to the raging waters and the raging wind. It was God who broke five loaves loaves and two fishes and fed the multitude. It was God that raised the dead, opened the blinded eyes, straightened withered limbs. Oh, friend, listen. Healed broken hearts, stopped the issues of blood, unstopped deaf ears and loosened tongues, and brought salvation to whosoever will. It was God manifest. And He said, listen, I'm not only come from the Father, I'm not only come into the world, but He said, I leave the world. Do you know how He left the world? He left it by crucifixion. He left it by choice. There was a time that Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born right so that He could die right. His birth, friend, guaranteed how that after 3 days of borrowing a tomb of a rich man, a tomb of a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, that He would vacate him. But when He died, friend, He died. He died as God's Lamb, just like John said in 1 and 29 of the Gospel, that bears His name, behold the Lamb of God, how that taketh away the sin of the world. He died on Calvary so that we could live. That was His mission. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom. He came to become the sinner's sacrifice. He came to become the sinner's substitute. And believe me, sinner friend, listen to this old preacher today. Listen, friend, Jesus not only died for us, but He died as us. God, when He was suspended, Jesus was spent suspended between the heaven and the earth. He, God the Father, laid upon Him, Jesus Christ, God the Son, laid upon Him my sin, your sin, and the sin of all the world. And oh, look, friend, He came into this world. That's His incarnation. Listen, He was in the world, and that was His manifestation. He left the world, and that was His crucifixion. And He said, I go to the Father, and that's His ascension. Now believe me when I say all four of these points deserve as much time that I'm given this whole message. Maybe I'll visit them again soon. But let me tell you something. After 3 days after the crucifixion, Christ, bless God, I came out from among the dead. Bless God, listen. He showed us that He had been virgin born. He proved to us that He was God's chosen. He proved to us that He was all that man needed. After 40 days after His resurrection, the Bible teaches us that He ascended back to the Father. Took Himself on the right hand, as I just read to you moments ago, in the majesty on high. He's seated there today as our high priest. Thank God. He's seated there as our advocate. He's there as our high priest, a priest as our go-between between us and God. I don't need a man with his collar turned around backwards. I can approach the throne of grace because there I've got an advocate. I've got someone that loves me. I've got someone that died for me. And I've got someone that lives for me. Jesus not only died to save me from my sin, sir, not only died to save me, man, from my sin, but He lives to keep me saved. Thank God I was saved by His death, and I'm kept by His life. Now you listen to this old preacher. As long as Christ lives, so will I. As long as He has life, that is eternal life, so will I. I don't have to wait till I die. I have to get eternal life. I become a possessor of it. Have the day I nailed at an altar and said, God, save me, this sinner. I received eternal life right there. Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, that's what the Word of God clearly teaches. If I know the Son, if I've got the Son, I've got eternal life. I'm telling you, this verse says it all. Don't you think? It tells us all that we need to know. Now listen, it doesn't explain every detail of the incarnation in 22 words. It doesn't sit down and do an exposition position on the manifestation of Christ and His work as He revealed the Father among us, did the Father's will, did the work the Father did, said the words the Father said. Hey, it doesn't explain all the crucifixion and all He had to endure for the joy that was set before Him. It doesn't tell us about how on that day, 40 days after His resurrection, that a group of people from Galilee watched a cloud receive Him out of His sight. But it tells us enough to know that this Jesus, this virgin-born Son of Mary, was God manifest in the flesh. God, very God of very God, and man, very man of very man, who came to die so that we can live. May I encourage you right now to trust Him, to bow before Him. If you're lost, to repent of your sin, by faith receive Him. And if you know Him, if you claim Him as your own, I suggest that you glorify Him. I suggest that you magnify Him. I suggest that you honor Him. I suggest that you bless Him and praise Him. This is a verse that says it all. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next time, may God bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.